When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Summer is supposed to be an opportunity to slow down, but when you look at your kids, you can't help but notice that your kids are growing up fast. Help them build independence as they grow with Greenlight. Greenlight is a debit card and money app for families where parents can keep an eye on kids' money habits while kids learn how to save, invest, and spend wisely. It's the easy, convenient way to raise financially smart kids. Get your first month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/pod.
Welcome to Eye on the Illini. This is Illini guy Mike Kegley, and we are going to preview the Chattanooga Mocs, who are coming to town to face the Illini on the first Thursday night game in Memorial Stadium. And it's kind of a big game because Illinois is at 2-1. They have an opportunity to go to 3-1. And we have a treat for you tonight. You guys may remember this name, Gene Henley, who is from the Chattanooga Times Free Press. He gave us the preview for the NCAA game, warned us that Malachi Smith was a guy that Illinois was going to have to shut down. He gave us some great info on the basketball team. Now he's here to preview the football team for us. Gene, how are you doing today?
Man, I can't complain, man. How about yourself?
Doing excellent. Now, Malachi must have heard how glowing your recommendations were. He's now playing for the Zags out in Washington. So you're going to have to be a little more nitpicky to some of the guys so they don't get this big head and decide to go to the big time.
Well, I think I covered four of three and a half of Lamont Paris's 5 years in Chattanooga, and I think he lost like 17 guys in that time to the transfer portal. So he gained about 15 or whatever so back. But I can't say that my words had a lot to do with, with Malachi deciding between Gonzaga and Texas Tech there at the end.
Yeah, there's a lot of Illini fans who were really impressed by him, who were hoping that the Illini would have got in there and went after him as well. But certainly everybody wishes him all the best luck out in Gonzaga. As we talk about this, Illini fans, they've got a lot of PTSD. We're going on a decade of losing records. And in the last 30 years, Illinois has been horrific in football, with the exception of three seasons. Now Illinois is at 2-1. They really need to get to 3-1 to have an opportunity to go through the Big Ten schedule and get bowl eligible. So here we have a top 10 rated Mocs team. How afraid should Illini fans be?
Oh, man. So it's interesting because the last 2 years, Chattanooga has played FBS opponents. They typically play one a year. They played Western Kentucky in 2020, led for most of that game, gave up a late touchdown, actually returned the ensuing kickoff for a touchdown to go up with a minute to go. It was called back because the up back, not the guy that received the ball, but the up back kind of waved for a fair catch. So they called it back. They had to go 90 yards, couldn't do it. Last year, their two quarterback options were a kid, like a six-year senior who had not started a game prior to 2020 in his career, started his career at Old Dominion and transferred to Chattanooga, and another quarterback who was all freshman in Chattanooga in 2017, essentially flunked out of school a year later, worked himself back into school, and was just getting back out into the field. Those were their two quarterback options. They went into Kentucky and were leading, 16-14 with like 12 minutes to play in the game. I think they allowed a touchdown quarterback, the 2017 quarterback, threw a pick six. He then led them on a drive. They ended up losing 28-23. So, like, in terms of just, you know, being fearful of the moment, that will not be the case. Like, I don't know what to expect. This is a different team slightly than last year's team. But I think it'll be a good game. Like, I've been asked for predictions. I hate predictions. I will say that I would not think that Chattanooga is going to win this game, but I would be far more surprised. I would be more surprised if they got blown out than if they won. I'll say that much.
Okay. Well, that's stressful. as Illinois fans, you know, we're hoping for like, look, we need the easy win. Now, Illinois has a pretty fearsome defense, ranked in the top 25, top 30. Probably a little thin from a depth standpoint. Who are they going to have to focus on that Chattanooga offense? Who makes that offense go, and what do they do well?
Well, the coach, historically, he's been there for 4 years now. He's historically kind of leaned on the rushing attack. The first kid that he ever got, he wasn't even here. This kid signed without there even being a head coach, is now junior running back Alim Ford, who I think is around 2,500 yards rushing in his career. The two full seasons they had in 2019 and 21, he went over 1,000 yards. I think he's already up to about, I think he's around 270 yards or somewhere around there through three games. Now it's a little, he's at 240. That's right. You know, it kind of starts with him just because you still want to run the ball, but that issue at quarterback they had last year, they don't necessarily have this year. And I'm always a firm proponent that, you know, quarterbacks are kind of like, you know, quarterbacks in football are kind of like superstars in basketball. If you can win a game because we've got you.
Right.
And they brought in the offseason a quarterback from Eastern Michigan. He's an Ohio native named Preston Hutchinson. Actually started all six games during the COVID season, and then got they brought in a quarterback from Cincinnati who got beat out by Desmond Ridder. And, you know, Preston actually told me last week that he outplayed the kid in the preseason in 2021 spring practice. And just ultimately got beat out last year. And so he, you know, he's in Chattanooga, and I think through three games, man, I believe he has like, he's the last 2 weeks, he's been offensive player of the week for the conference. He threw for over 300 yards this last week. They played at Eastern Illinois 2 weeks ago. I think he had 345 yards total offense, like I think he had 280 passing and like 60 rushing. Like he's an effective kind of dual threat guy. And that kind of takes some of the load off of a Lim, because Lim doesn't have to carry the ball 28 times a game for 162 yards. And therefore that makes him fresher. Receivers, they're deep, but they're all young.
Okay.
I think they've got, you know, all three of their starting receivers are very young. I think it's a sophomore and two freshmen. They bring a senior, another sophomore and a freshman off the bench. Like, they're very young, but they're very fast. They're very fast. I'll say that much. Offensive line isn't quite as strong as it was last year, but, you know, obviously they had, you know, one of their starting left guard last year is, you know, it's getting a lot of praise on social media because he was the first round pick at the Patriots this past year. And he's getting a lot of praise for the job he did on Cam Hayward yesterday. They've got a right guard now who may play left tackle some, named McClendon Curtis, who is like 6'6", like 320, somewhere around there, 6'8", 320, I believe. He'll play on Sundays, and he'll probably hear his name called in the first 2 days next year. So, like, they've got a lot of pieces there. It's still so early for me to kind of figure this thing out with them, because I just don't know enough about the competition, and it's just so hard to make September observations this way, but they're a completely different offense than they were last year. So I think watching last year's clips will do you no good when it comes to this offense, because the quarterback's not the same, and that changes a lot of stuff.
And they're averaging, what, almost 36 points a game, give or take. I mean, this team is putting up points in bunches. Illinois was very successful putting a pass rush on the quarterback for Virginia. And that was probably the key to the game, as by the end, Brennan was really kind of, you know, he was basically kind of getting rid of the ball quickly to avoid getting hit, which was the exact polar opposite of what he was doing the year before when they had Illinois essentially beat. It was an 11 o'clock kickoff Eastern time, 10 a.m. Illinois time, and by literally 10:30 in the morning, Illinois was down by 21 points, and that was pretty much it. And a total reversal with a poor offensive line showing. Illinois fans will be very quickly looking to see how the offensive line matches up with the defensive line. I think that's probably on defense what Illinois is going to be trying to understand.
Yeah, and Chattanooga's offensive line is not as good as it was last year. Like they lost four seniors off last year's team, guys who had a ton of experience. They returned two starters, Curtis, who I talked about, their starting right tackle, Colin Truitt, who is a preseason all-conference guy. Their starting left tackle is, I don't know if y'all know the name, Dave Monat. You know, he played at Purdue. That's okay. The only reason I'll say. I think he had a dad that played it. His dad played at Purdue, too. I was just doing some research for a story I'm working on. Illinois had actually offered him at one point. I was reading the 24/7 guys' tweets about it. You know, I think, you know, apparently at one point they felt like they were in a good spot with him, but he ended up going to Purdue. Their starting center is a sophomore from the area. Their starting left guard played at Bowling Green, and his dad is Brian Van Gorder. So, like, they're revamped. They're still working some stuff out. One of their backups is a Virginia Tech transfer, although he's just a freshman. Like, they're young. They're still trying to figure some stuff out. They're not nearly as good as last year, but that was also a pretty high bar. I just, you know, because all those guys were back, and at least until some of the older guys kind of mentally checked out midway through the year, because they were like 28 years old. Like, they were a good unit. They were a good group. It's just they just kind of faded late. But they're not quite there, but there's probably a lot of potential there.
Okay. Now, for Illinois on offense, Tommy DeVito has been a breath of fresh air. We really haven't had a strong quarterback since Nathan Shielhouse. And, you know, you're going back 7-8 years now. And now all of a sudden – we've got a quarterback who can drop the ball in with nice touch on the long passes, has a cannon for an arm, has occasional issues with accuracy, although receivers have probably been a little bit more of Illinois' weakness, because there's basically Isaiah Williams, who is an uber athlete and a smaller slot receiver. And then they are waiting for guys to step up. And there's some size out at wide receiver, but right now consistency is a challenge. Got two big tight ends, and the offensive line's pretty solid. And, of course, Chase Brown is, you know, arguably having maybe the best year of any running back after the first three games in the country. He's certainly in the discussion. And he really helps this team go, because if you drop back into coverage, can hand the ball off to him, and he's devastating. And then obviously when you bring up the defense and roll them up to you know, handle him, that gives a little bit of space. The receivers don't create a ton of separation right now, except for Isaiah Williams, and that's probably the biggest challenge on the offense. What does the Chattanooga defense, what are they going to throw at them?
They're going to throw a lot. defensive coordinator. Was the defensive coordinator and interim head coach at Louisville about 3-4 years ago. He coached at South Carolina for a long time. He's going to throw a lot of different looks. Like whereas they kind of leaned on that running attack in prior years, they also leaned a lot on the defense. And I also feel like that played a role last year because the defense was kind of carrying the team at times. They've got guys on at least two of the three levels. They've got a defensive end, Devontae Maxwell, who if he was 6'5", 295, when he was coming out of high school, as opposed to like 6'2", 295, he probably could have picked the school. He's that good. I think he's got 32 and a half sacks in his career. It's just a great player, multiple time All-American. The guy opposite him is Ben Bruton, who was first team All-Conference last year. They've got an inside linebacker named Todd Beck, who I actually think is playing better than any guy on that team, offense or defense, this year. He returned a block punt for a touchdown on Saturday. Got a sack. I think he's got, he leads team in tackles. I don't remember the exact number. He's playing out of his mind. And they've got another kid. They've got an edge rusher, Shea Person, who I think may lead the team in sacks. He's an App State transfer who's from the area, really elite athlete. Like, that front seven is almost entirely back from last year. Secondary is kind of young. They've got some freshmen. They've got some sophomores. They'll be okay. They're kind of like Channing's receivers. They'll be okay, but there are some growing pains. There are some consistency issues, like you mentioned, with Illinois' receivers. They kind of got confused with some, some route concepts last week against North Alabama. Early on, specifically, I think they cleaned a lot of that up in the second half. But that front seven is really good. And that was the unit, I think, last year when they played Kentucky. Kentucky had a mentality that, okay, we're just going to just let Chris Rodriguez run wild. I just looked up his stats. I'm pretty sure I want to say Chris Rodriguez had like 50 yards rushing on 13 carries in that game, more or less, give or take. And they basically made Will Levis beat him, and Will Levis threw two picks. I still remember that he dropped the ball in the bucket. And I feel like you're going to have to make those sorts of plays because they're going to try to take something away that you do well, and try to let your lesser known quantity beat them. So that means, obviously, with Illinois, Bielema would love to just play like 60s football where he just lines up and just runs 70 times a game. Obviously we are in the 2020s, and you've got to do that. And, I think they're going to say, how good is your quarterback? The perception is that he's good. How good are those receivers? I think that's what they're going to say. And, So I do think that the Illinois offense versus the Chattanooga defense will be an interesting matchup that I want to see, because I think this Chattanooga defense is good. They led the conference and were around the top of the country in every category at the end of last season, which included the Kentucky game. So I would like to see what they do against a similar foe. Maybe Illinois is not quite as good as Kentucky is or was, but that's still a Big Ten team who has 25 more scholarships, give or take, than you do. And so that's an opportunity for, if you're good, you're going to get a chance to show it on this platform. And so I'll be intrigued to see that.
Yeah, and I do think the one benefit that Illinois has, of course, is, some of the players and coaches were probably tuned in to Evanston, Illinois last weekend and watched Southern Illinois University, who has went to the playoffs the last 2 years, come in 0-2 and beat Northwestern. And I think that has to be a wake-up call for any Big Ten team that thinks they're going to walk in and just get a victory in this type of scenario, because you see that happen and you have to be thinking to yourself, I don't want that to be us.
Yeah, and I think it's just the way that college football is now. I mean, sometimes, you know, Power Fives will recruit a kid, maybe give up on them, quote unquote, too early or something, so that kid goes down to a lower level. Maybe the kid decides that he's not going to get a chance and it's his decision. I mean, that's the thing with the transfer portal is nobody actually tells you whose decision it was. And a lot of times coaches get to skate because it's always on the kids. But, you know, because of the portal now, like, you have opportunities to get good and kids have an opportunity to get on the field. Heck, I mean, Chattanooga's starting left tackle, Purdue. They're starting left guard, Bowling Green. You know, like, that's two star. Oh, matter of fact, the starting right tackle started his career at Cincinnati. You know, like, their quarterback, Eastern Michigan. Like, on the defensive side of the ball, they've got one of their safeties, Louisville, another safety, Wake Forest. Like, they've got guys all over. They've got a DB from Louisville that didn't even play much. They've got a guy from Northwestern who last week I saw him on the scout team. A guy from Virginia Tech scout team. And like, they may not even travel for these games. Like, there's so much, you know, like, these FCS programs benefit so greatly from the talent that they can accumulate because either, you know, of relationships that have been built between these coaches and these players throughout the recruiting process. Or, you know, just again, maybe higher level coaches just basically saying, yeah, that I didn't recruit you. I didn't bring you in. So, you know, best of luck to you. You know, find a new home. We'll, you know, I'll support you if you need anything, blah, 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 blah. Then that kid goes on and does some great things. And, you know, so you just, like I said, look around the country, App State, take the Sun Belt. Chattanooga was supposed to have been in the Sun Belt at one point. They could have easily been there a decade ago. They weren't in a spot to leave at that point for only because they didn't have hardly an administration at all. No chancellor, no athletic director, no basketball coaches whatsoever. That could have been them, essentially, getting that opportunity. But as it stands, you know, here we are. And so you've got to, you know, so you can be a Southern Illinois. You know, you could be North Dakota State and be a favorite in Arizona, even though they obviously didn't win. Not every team is capable of going into one of these Big Ten or SEC or whatever atmosphere is winning. But as Southern Illinois showed, it's no longer impossible.
Yeah. How are the special teams for the Mocs this year?
Well, I've got one follower that if you ask them, they've not been good since like 1984. but it's interesting. Like he'll be real quick to point out they did miss an extra point last week. They've got a true freshman kicker, a signee, which means he had to be pretty good coming in. And he knocked a 52-yarder off the side post, I mean, off the upright against Eastern Illinois. He's got a leg on him. You know, I like him from like 50 feet and in pretty good. They've got two punters. They don't really do a lot in the return game. But, heck, they basically – I've never seen this before, but twice against North Alabama, they pushed the up back into the punter for block punts.
Oh, nice.
And one of the – yeah, like twice. Once was enough, but one of those two, they recovered for a touchdown. And, like, I think they're good. Like, they're not elite. Like, they're not going to go up to Illinois and push them up – pushing up back into a punter. But I think they're respectable. You can say that much. And like the kicker can make, you know, the kicker, if he can make kicks, and they've got a left footed punter and a right footed punter that, and you know, that they just, or I don't know what the rhyme or reason is. Maybe it's just positioning what they think, who they think may be able to place a punt better. But, like they've got, you know, they're decent. Like they're not elite. We're not talking about like Beamer ball or anything here.
Right,
but
right.
They're respectable.
So I know you don't like to give predictions. You got any generalized predictions that you're you know, like what you think is going to be close? Do you think, you know, it's going to be within a touchdown? Got anything that you're comfortable with on this? Because I'll tell you what, this is a game that worries me, because when you start listing off guys from 10 different, you know, CFP schools.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's pretty dang good. You know, you start listing these guys out there and it's obvious that it's not chopped liver. It's a team that's got some good physical talent and then they're well coached. So, this is going to be a tough game, I think.
If I looked up at midnight on Thursday / Friday, and I see a final score that says Chattanooga 21, Illinois 31, I would not be surprised. And I think this is an evening because to me, I would much rather want this game to be at the end of the season or at the very, very beginning, because like to do it in game four on a Thursday night, you know, technically that's like a short week, you know, like tomorrow is like a Thursday practice. Wednesday they're closing the practice because they're treating it as a walkthrough.
Yep.
Cause that throws my entire work week off in a sense. By the way, man, I'm tired of you disrespecting Juice Williams, the great quarterback Juice Williams.
Yep, yep. Like, 2007, what a great year that was. Yep.
So, quick story. I was in St. Louis visiting a couple friends of mine, and they're like, "Hey, let's go to this. Let's go to this Missouri Illinois game." And I'm like, "What? Yeah, Missouri Illinois." And I think Chase Daniel was the quarterback for Missouri. And the only reason I don't remember anything about that game except for Juice Williams, I think, got hurt that game and they had a backup quarterback that I think looked pretty good in that game. But unfortunately for both Illinois and Missouri, I remember nothing about that game because that was the same day that App State beat Michigan.
Yep.
And this was before social media. So you see the score going across in the Edward Jones Dome. How old this is in the Edward Jones Dome that App State beat Michigan, and we know no details because, like I said, this is pre-Twitter, this is pre-smartphones, all this, that, and the other. But sorry, I just thought that was funny. But I think that this team, I fully expect Chattanooga to acquit itself pretty well. Like, you want to come out of this game healthy, but you also have a primetime opportunity that you're not going to get. Like, next Saturday, they play a game against ETSU, who, by the way, beat Vandy last year. And it's your in-state rival at 7:30. And then I think the latest game that you have the rest of the season is at 2:00. So you're not going to get any more sort of primetime sort of opportunities until you get into the playoffs, should you make it that far. This is big. I mean, they play Kentucky at noon. They play Western Kentucky, I think, at 3:00 in the middle of COVID. So, like, this is a different opportunity. Are they ready for the lights? Illinois will be, especially after what Southern Illinois did last week. But I still think this is the sort of team that will acquit itself nicely. And like I said, if you told me that it was 31-21, something along those lines, I think Chattanooga would be disappointed, mainly because they gave up 31 points. But I could also see them walking away from it saying, you know what, we had opportunities. We did some good things. We got some stops. You know, we scored some points against a Big Ten team. And then they can put their focus fully into conference play the rest of the way.
Yeah, Illinois is a tough team to peg still. Wyoming, you know, Illinois manhandled, beat them 38-6. Then Wyoming has been on a 3-game winning streak, including beating Air Force last week. So now Wyoming's 3-1, and they looked bad against Illinois. Then Illinois had a game they should have won at Indiana, but literally made every mistake you could possibly make. Had, you know, eight or ten penalties, 4 turnovers, had a touchdown called back. They still could have won it. But in the end, when they needed to make plays, they didn't make them. And then they played Virginia, who many of us were terrified of this game, and beat the snot out of them 24-3. So now Illinois has won, you know, it's 2-1, and in 2 of the 3 games, not allowed a touchdown. So we're hoping that it's not the Indiana version of Illinois that comes out. We hope to see the Wyoming or Virginia Illinois come out and play.
And, you know, what bugs me about Indiana is I'm not sure they've actually beaten anybody this year.
Don't even get me started.
Well, you got to understand, my mom is a Western Kentucky alum, and she was so excited last Saturday. She just kept telling me, she was like texting me, hey, we're going to beat Indiana. And then she just sends me all these texts. She's like, that's a rivalry, Gene. You understand? Like, and I don't really know, because I'm like trying to watch other games as I prepare for mine. And I'm a little confused. So I turn on the TV, and around the time I turned on the TV, I think the quarterback for Western threw an ill-advised pass that was picked off in the end zone. And then I look up, and somehow Indiana has won in overtime. And so that now then you throw this at me about the Illinois Indiana game, and I'm just very confused as to, the thing about that is those things typically work for a season. Yeah, it typically works out where all the balances kind of go your way. And then, like, maybe two seasons later, that karma comes back for you. Or this could be the reverse of IU's 2019 season when they won, what, 8 games, played Tennessee in that bowl game. I was down there, and then, you know, they somehow let a Tennessee team that I thought was horrible that year score like 2 touchdowns in the last like 5 minutes and beat them. So maybe this is just, you know, the reverse karma working out for them. But hey, IU, a lot of family in Indianapolis. I'm a Midwestern guy, so I don't root for them, but hey.
They get a lot of calls. They get a lot of calls going down the stretch, and Tom Allen is one of those coaches who treats the ref like dog doo-doo. And just he's constantly yelling at him. And I got to be honest with you, as a guy who's been an AAU basketball coach and I've done some refereeing, somebody treats me like that, I'm gonna, you know, throw a flag and go, see, there you are, 15 yards back up. And I'm always amazed that people can be treated that way. And then they end up giving the benefit of the doubt to the guy who treats you that way for 45 minutes of a game. But again, I'm not a professional ref, but I do think that Indiana is Cam Jones is an amazing player. He, yeah. Their outside linebacker. He reminds me, and I'm not certain you're going to be old enough to get this reference, but he reminds me of Wilbur Marshall Light. Wilbur played for the 85 Bears. And was a fantastic linebacker who probably would have went to the Hall of Fame had he stayed in Chicago instead of going to Washington and playing in Richie Pettibone's offense or defense that made him more of a cover linebacker than a rush linebacker. But I will tell you that Indiana is going to have to play Michigan. And then later in the season, they go through a 3-game stretch of Penn State, Ohio State, and Michigan State. And so we'll see how their karma goes, because I don't care who you are, even Alabama, you know, or Georgia wouldn't look at that stretch and say it's, you know, easy, easy, easy. So we'll find out.
Yeah, that's at the very least, it sounds like such a daunting test. I mean, we'll see what Michigan State is. Like, I don't think Indiana's good. But Michigan State, you know, did not have a great weekend, if I recall. Now, look, Ohio State, Michigan, schools like that, that's a different level.
Yeah.
That's a different level. And obviously, being down here, all the talk, you would not know that the Big Ten even existed sometime until it gets to the playoff and somebody gets beat in the semifinals. By Georgia or in Alabama or whatever the case may be. But like it's, you know, you watch, like, to me, like, I understand, like, there's just a different level, you know, particularly, like, I'd say Ohio State, Bama, and Georgia kind of feel like they, I don't want to say they're a class above everybody else.
Oh,
year.
They are.
but apparently, I mean, maybe Indiana's there too. I mean, I don't know. I mean, like, I don't know. It feels like those three schools in particular feel different. Like the in-state school here is obviously Tennessee, and I'm like, they're itching to be good so bad. I mean, so like they so badly want to be great. And I can't remember who beat them last year in like the Music City Bowl, Purdue. Yeah. But I'm like, I can't buy you being elite when you lose to Purdue. And I don't say that as a knock, but I mean, that's one 7-win team beating another, 7-win team. So it's funny. So like pretty much after you get past like the Bamas, the Georgias, the Ohio States, maybe like a Clemson this year. I don't know. Clemson doesn't look great. After those three in particular, maybe USC or Oklahoma.
Yeah, that was who I would have said, USC and Oklahoma.
That, yeah, there seems to be a precipitous drop. So number six in the country doesn't necessarily mean you're the sixth best team. It just means you're second tier.
Right. I think that's
what we're, I think we're all just trying to, you know, I think everybody should just want to avoid this, you know, not being, I mean, try to get to that first tier, but just realize that you are second tier in comparison to those other schools.
Yeah. And we're Illinois fans. So let's just get a winning season and we'll worry about the tiering system later.
Man, get that. You mean you all will fight your way to 7-5. Maybe you'll face Tennessee in a bowl game. I think that, you know, Bielema has proven to be a good coach.
Yeah.
You know, like he's done a good job everywhere he's gone. If I recall, I could be wrong. I don't necessarily remember a stop where he was just flatly bad.
Right.
He may have had bad seasons, but flatly bad. No, I'm not going there with that. But I mean, like you're talking about a guy who has had good systems everywhere he's gone. Those teams have been solid. Those teams have been well coached. What were they last year? They didn't win 6 games.
Five and seven last year. And okay. To the frustration, in fairness, they had three very close losses. They also had mm-hmm. two very close wins. So it came down to execution. If there would have been a able quarterback last year, they probably would have been 7-5, 8-4 with relative ease. The man is organized. I mean, I really believe mm-hmm. that he's probably got a little chart that says at 10 a.m. in the morning, he's going to take his right index finger and scratch his nose. He plans out everything.
He's got reminders. Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Reminders on his iPhone.
Yep. And he's like, he's a little bit of a Belichickian, you know, he's coached under Belichick.
He coached there, yeah.
Yep. And so you get that he really does try to control the small details. So it will be very interesting to see how well things go. I don't worry about his coaching. He's starting to let the offense do a little more already. It's kind of, you know, it's been a little amazing to see him throwing as much as they're throwing this year. They're never going to be, you know, air raid or anything like that, but mm-hmm. he's doing much more than people would have guessed. I think the biggest challenge for an Illinois is when you're trying to recruit is, you know, that Ohio State has NIL dollars piled up. Michigan has them piled up. You know that USC has them, you know, that Texas A&M. So how do you get a difference, you know, get some of those difference makers when you don't have those kind of funds? And so what Bielema has to do is produce more J.J. Watts. And that's not easy to do, but at least right. he can look back in the past and say he's done it. The other thing is if I'm an offensive lineman, I look at the guys that Bielema's put into the NFL, and he's put in more offensive linemen than anybody other than Nick Saban, you know. And can you say, hey, he's doing that with many times 2, 3, and 4 stars. What the heck could Bielema do if he had a 5-star offensive lineman? And maybe he'll be able to get some you know, maybe he'll be able to recruit at a higher level and really make a name for himself, because he does put offensive linemen into the NFL.
And it's interesting because, you know, lineman is a position that probably seems like the position most likely to make it to the league without having the lofty rankings coming in. I mean, hey, you know, Chattanooga's kid was a first round draft pick, and I don't recall him having stars coming out of high school. Yep. I mean, heck, the kid was a converted, you know. Excuse me, getting all choked up talking about him. The kid was like a converted, like tight end or defensive end. I remember his first year in Chattanooga that he was healthy was 2017. They put him at, he had never played offensive line before. They just basically put him at left guard and said, just go hit people. He had no technique. Like, I remember talking to the center that year, and he was like, the good thing about Cole is he doesn't know what he's doing, but he'll fail going 100 miles an hour. And yep. So like once you kind of figure out the mindset of that position, that's necessary to be successful at that position, then you can go get guys that fit that. Like Chattanooga will be fine, I'd say, from offensive line for the next 5 to 7 years because of that kid. You know, Illinois, in my opinion, should be fine over the next 5 to 7 years because they've got Bielema.
Yeah,
and Bielema is like, coach, I'm a 5-star offensive lineman. Why should I go to Illinois? Because of me.
Yeah,
it's kind of like the quarterback conversation I had earlier. You'll go to the next level because of me. You'll win because of me. You've got me, and like that's the mentality that I would personally take into it. You know, Bielema said he was a great recruiter. Look at his wife. He said that a decade ago. like, you probably need to use that. Like, I'm not saying – I'm not speaking out of turn that he said it flatly at his opening press conference of Arkansas, I believe, and where you're in the SEC where all people care about is recruiting. And I thought he did a pretty darn good job there. But if he can get some linemen that fit what he's trying to do, and it seems like maybe he seems to have that, because I don't care what level you play. If you're a successful rushing the ball as that running back has been so far, you've done a good job blocking. And it's not like they've played 3 games against Division II schools. Like they play, 2 Power 5s and an FBS school. I guess Wyoming's still FBS.
Yeah.
So that's what they've played so far. And like, so to me, the success that he's had, if I'm a running back, or if I'm an offensive lineman, now those other positions, okay, maybe you got me.
Maybe
you could sneak a tight end there. The history maybe not, it doesn't exist with quarterbacks or receivers. Those may be
Russell
a little bit
Wilson.
Harder,
especially when he made Russell Wilson. Yeah. That's how I would portray it if I'm Coach B. Now you know he didn't, but that's how I'm explaining it.
Hey, that's exactly how I would say. He came to me because, like, he wasn't getting it done in the state, and he needed to come to me
exactly.
to get it done.
Exactly.
That's exactly what I would do. And look, it's not what you know; it's what you can prove. You can't prove that what I'm saying is not true. That's what I personally would do if I was in that spot. But yeah, I mean, look, it's, you know, like the court. Like, if you get those other positions, all you got to do is hit on one quarterback.
Yep.
At Illinois. I mean, obviously, we can joke around about the Russell Wilson stuff. That was a number of years ago, a decade ago. But if they can just hit on one quarterback, and maybe this kid they've got there now is that guy. If they can hit on one guy who gets like first or second round, because it's not often that you hear about one quarterback going to a school being a first round draft pick, and then you never hear of another of that school ever getting another first round quarterback. I mean, Missouri went from Chase Daniel to Blaine Gabbert. And I mean, like, it's rare that you don't get that. And so they can just hit on one of them.
Right.
And, you know, you can point to that person and lead. But Bielema systems are always going to kind of, the perception is that they're going to lean on running the ball. That's just facts.
Yeah.
But if they have a quarterback that can go out there and do a good job with the opportunities presented, then maybe that'll lead to something. Maybe that'll lead to that 8-win, you know, 9-win. I was stunned to hear Illinois people talking and the excitement about the possibility of going 3-1. To your point at the beginning of this conversation, I was a little surprised. And so I guess I just hadn't really, maybe my perception of Illinois is different, but I was surprised. They're like, no, we got a chance to go 3-1 going into league play. And I'm not saying it to be funny. I'm saying that, like, wow, like I would think that 3 wins in the conference would not be that difficult to get, but, or 4 wins, I guess, per se, in the event that somehow Chattanooga won this game. But, like I understand, I guess, why there's so much fear about it, because it's like, man, what's going to get us? I think I saw somebody said, I'm afraid that Chattanooga's going to block it's going to make a game-winning field goal to make up for the one that they didn't hit in the tournament. And I'm just like, wow.
I hadn't thought of that, so I appreciate you putting that in my mind. You know, the Illinois, we joke about it at Illini Guys. Illinois has a little bit of football PTSD. Nothing to do with Brett Bielema. But if you look at the Illini, you know, since, gosh darn, since 1997, they have, let me count them up here. They have 6 seasons where they've won 4 games or more in the Big Ten since 1997. So that's,
wow,
25 years, 6 years they've won 4 games or more in the Big Ten. And then you're back to, you know, you're back to looking at, you know, Ron Zook's 9-4 year was one of them. Lovey had a year. Zook's 7-6 year, he did it. And then you go back to Ron Turner, who did it 3 times. But unfortunately, after he, you know, his last 2 years were 0-8 and 1-7. That doesn't do much for you. So if you go back, to be honest, the last time that Illinois has won, you know, back-to-back 8 wins or more in a season is 1989 and 1990, when Illinois went 10-2 and 8-4. And I believe that 89 team was Jeff George. And so you're talking, you know, I was a 23-year-old at that time, so I'm 55 now. So, you know, that's a long time ago. And you're looking at a lot of generations of Illinois fans who have PTSD because they've just stunk. And a lot of it goes at the foot of Ron Gunther, the athletic director, in the 90s and the 2000s. And then they got a gentleman by the name of Mike Thomas from University of Cincinnati, who was worse than Ron Gunther. And then it took Josh Whitman, a former Illinois football player, to come in. He took a chance on Lovey Smith. Didn't work out, but people can understand why he tried it. And then he got Brett Bielema, and of course he's also hired Brad Underwood. And so you're starting to see the programs turn around, but Illinois fans are kind of like, hey, let's see it happen. And they don't want to count their chickens before they hatch, because there's been too many painful moments of, I don't know, unhatched chickens. That's a hard metaphor to keep going, but and it's been hard on the Illini fans. So and that has no, that there's no fault of Brett Bielema, his staff, or these players. And so, but they have to overcome that fan PTSD, and a 3-1 start would be a great way to do it. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I'm looking at their bowl history, and it's just, it's very jarring to me.
Yeah.
2019, 2014, back-to-back, Zook and Koenig?
Yep.
Okay. Then, you know, had a nice little run from 88 to 92.
Yep, they had a good.
82 and 83.
The 80s were the era for Illini fans.
in the 80s, one, two, five. Here's a Citrus Bowl. That means something. And a Rose Bowl. That means something.
Yep.
I guess even Peach Bowl still had a little, has a little bit of, it was a lower bowl back then, but if I recall.
Still a bowl, yes. Actually, yeah, they had some, that Liberty Bowl was at, the loss they had in 82 was actually the last game that Bear Bryant ever coached. They've had some good bowl games. And I think ultimately, you know, as it comes down to it, how I look at it is if you look at the coaches, you know, John Makovic went to Texas. So, okay, you know, you win some, yeah, you lose some. But, you know, Lou Tepper never was a D1 coach, head coach again. Ron Turner hasn't been a head coach since. Ron Zook hasn't been a head coach since. Tim Beckman hasn't been a head coach since. Bill Cubitt, he was older, so that's not really fair. And Lovie Smith is back in the NFL. But you look at those coaches, and you know, one of the things that I look at is where do they go next? And Illinois has hired the wrong guy. Every opportunity they've had a chance, if it's between Coach A and Coach Z, they pick Coach Z, not Coach A. And with Brett Bielema, I think they finally got a guy who can do it. But it's going to be a challenge. There's a lot of bad years in front of him. Here's an ironic thing, and then I'll let you go. But if you go back and take a look at the years of Illinois, 1978, Illinois had Gary Moeller as coach.
Mm-hmm.
Iowa hired a guy by the name of Hayden Fry. And then at the end of the 79 season, Illinois hired Mike White. Then you go all the way to, I don't know, the early 2000s, Iowa hires Kirk Ferentz. That's all they've hired in the last 50 years, practically.
And Ferentz is on that staff.
Yes.
Ferentz is on Hayden Frost's staff.
Yes. And you have Illinois, who in that same time has had like, eight coaches and very little success. It just goes to show you, if you hire the right coach in college football, you can really make your program. And at the time when Iowa hired Hayden Fry and Illinois hired Mike White within a year of one another, basically, the programs were roughly equal at that time. It's no comparison nowadays. So Brett Bielema's got to be the guy who tries to build that back up.
I'm going to leave this dead fish on your lap as I walk out the door.
Great.
Just because it's funny. So to your point, or your point you just made, I guess because Illinois fans, from what you're telling me, are very fearful. Just live in constant fear. Where is the fear level going to be in, say, 2027 when Kirk Ferentz steps down, if Bielema has built this program up to be a consistent 8-9 win team, about Bielema leaving for his alma mater?
You know, he could. And here's the thing about Brett Bielema, and, you know, I've interviewed him once and we got to have a pretty good conversation. I come from corporate America, you know, mm-hmm. VP of sales and stuff like that, big companies. And dealing with him is more like dealing with an executive than it is a coach. So my suspicion is, and I don't want, you know, if he's successful, I want him to stay at Illinois until he retires. But my suspicion is if he were to go to to Iowa or somewhere else, he will leave this program in much better shape than he found it, and that's will right. allow that next person to have an opportunity to maybe do even more than Coach Bielema had. Yeah. And to me, when you look at a coach, that's ultimately what you can really ask from that coach, is take what we give you, improve upon it, and leave it in better shape for that next coach. And I'm very confident that he will leave it significantly better. But yes, if he's successful in 8 or 9 wins a year, I'd rather have Coach B, you know, do another 15 years and hand off the baton then, But if he builds it up and does that, and then he hands it off to go to Iowa, I won't root for Iowa when Illinois plays him, but you'll wish the guy good luck because of what he did for the Illinois program. And we'll see how it goes, but he is a different guy. When you talk to him, that executive demeanor and the planning that he puts into things just kind of sets him apart from other coaches. You know, you've got, like, I hate to say it, but there's the old chucklehead coach, you know, that I can yell louder than you and I can run around screaming and gesticulating. He's not one of those guys. He can get mad, don't get me wrong, but you know, he's got a plan. And I think that is what Illinois needs, is somebody who's got a plan and then knows how to hit those goals, the milestones along the way. But we'll find out. You know, this podcast could age really badly, or it could age really well.
I don't think there's a bad ending to it, unless he's just not good. And I don't think that's going to be the case.
Yeah, I don't think so either. So,
yeah.
Well, Gene, I tell you what, I really appreciate you coming on. This is the second podcast we've done together. Excellent analysis for us. Any final thoughts that you might have, where people can read your stuff? Do you have any podcasts that people could look for? Anything you wanted to kind of talk about for those fans who've enjoyed this podcast?
Yeah, well, you can find me, of course, on timesfreepress.com, where all of our coverage is, and I'll always ask people to, you know, support local journalism. It does still kind of matter. Trust is that's all I can say. And I've just started a podcast. It's called GH3, because I'm Gene Henley III. The GH3 podcast, where I delve into a lot of different subjects. You know, right now it's primarily focused on UTC athletics, but it'll branch out to some other things. I'll have some interesting guests on, you know, along the way as I try to build this thing out. But body's going in a lot of different directions right now, so I'm kind of focusing in on just simply the Chattanooga aspect of it. But yeah, certainly, you know, I think right now it's on everything. Pretty sure it's on Apple, it's on Spotify. It's wherever you get your podcast, basically. So, you know, check in, rate, review, tell me where I can be better. I'm always looking for it. You know, we're all journalists. We all speak. Therefore, we've got to be willing to be criticized. And so I don't mind it. I feel like it makes you better. So appreciate you all listening. You know, hopefully it's a good game on Thursday. And personally, I'll just kind of be like Rob Lowe with the Super Bowl and just wear an NFL hat and just hope both teams play well.
Perfect. Well, I can tell you, folks, I'm looking at the GH3 podcast. It is available on Apple. So for those folks who've enjoyed this podcast, feel free to go over and take a look at what Gene has going on. And of course, thank you so much for listening to us. Gene, we'll wish you good luck. And of course, I know that come Thursday night, we're going to hope the Illini win, but we want a good game. And hopefully both teams will play well. The Illini will come out on top, and neither team will suffer any significant injuries. Thank you so much
no
for
injuries.
Coming on. Yep.
I appreciate it, man. Thanks again.
Take care, sir. Thanks so much for listening to this episode. Of course, you can go to IlliniGuys.com. That's what fuels this podcast and the Illini Guys Sports Spectacular. The Illini Guys Sports Spectacular is our two-hour weekly radio show that's on 20 stations across the state of Illinois, from Chicago down to St. Louis and all points in between. Just go to IlliniGuys.com, hit the radio button, and you can find what city, what day, and what time. Most of the times we're on Fridays or Saturdays. Look for us and listen. Please call up the station and tell them thank you, because that's the best way to let them know that they've made the right decision to support the Illini Guys. Additionally, you can find our podcast, Sturdy for 30, Keds Recruiting Roundup, and of course, Eye on the Illini. You can find those at pretty much any place you can get your podcasts. Please go ahead and follow those and subscribe. Give us 5-star reviews if you can. And we have 2 radio shows. We also have Big Sports Radio, which focuses on Big Ten and big sporting events. please look at that. That is something, again, it's another two-hour weekly show. And both the Illini Guys Sports Spectacular and Big Sports Radio are released at noon Central on Saturdays after all of our stations have played them. And you can listen to them and be ready for the sporting weekend. We've got a full complement of people covering Illini sports and Big Ten sports. It's a lot of fun. We would love to have you subscribe. And if you go to bigsportsradio.com, you can join there. It's a free registration. And IlliniGuys.com, it is a $99 a year. You get all the inside information. Most important thing on IlliniGuys.com is you can go back into the forums or the message boards, and that's where we can put the information that is, you know, that maybe you can't publish because the sources don't want to be named, but you can get rumors and backstories on what's going on in recruiting, et cetera. And you know about things way before anybody else. With that, I am Illini Guy Mike Kegley. Thank you so much. And we really appreciate Gene Henley III coming on as well. Everybody have a fantastic evening and go Illini.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.